Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Well, this is America, so we can debate this game, guys. You want to debate this game? Waddle and Sylvie America. On the air, a very abbreviated show. We'll be on until 6. Sylvie does have the afternoon off. I think he's already hammered, but Chris Black and Adam Abdallah will be riding along as well. You guys want to debate this game? I mean, 312-332-3776. I don't think there's really anything to debate. I think, Connor, you heard him kind of summarize everything very, very well. This, to me, was one of those games. You get 162 of these. You'd won 6 in a row. You were facing a Royals team that had lost 11 in a row. Every now and again, you come out flat as a pancake. And that's kind of what it felt like today. I heard Tony defending what he saw from his pitcher today, Giolito. That's a good conversation to have. By no means has he been bad this year, but he hasn't resembled the same guy we saw in 2020, and that's a conversation point. Fortunately for the entire staff, everybody else has been elite. And game 2 will be pitched by Michael Kopech, who has been as good as anybody. So, you know, you've got an arm pretty much every day to go out there and pick you up. But it wasn't Giolito's best outing. I think the highlight of the day, obviously, was the injury to Jose Abreu. As we all know, they're trying to get past losing Robert early, losing Eloy before the season even began. And it doesn't sound like Abreu's going to be out for very long, right, guys? It's a facial contusions, facial lacerations, and no concussion. I mean, that was a Sunday for me, man, minus the no concussion. It was usually facial contusions, facial lacerations, and a concussion. Obviously, I don't mean to make light of it. It was a pretty vicious collision. He and Hunter Dozier, I believe. Abreu not going to be able to go tonight for game 2 of this doubleheader. But, yeah, Sox lose 6-2. As I said before, fellas, this is just one of those games. We'll talk to Chuck Garfine here, I think, in about 15 minutes to kind of recap what's going on. Lot to discuss as well with our Chicago Bears. Rookie minicamp underway up at Hallis Hall. Justin Fields spoke to the media. We'll bring you some of that. Matt Nagy, I believe, is wrapping up talking as well. He watched practice from home. So a lot to get to, but 312-332-3776 if you've got some thoughts on what you saw from your White Sox team. Again, my theme, fellas, is you just can't win them all. You know, you just can't win them all. As much as you want to, you can't win them all.
Yeah, I'm with you. And the Sox have been so hot as of late that it's unusual to see them play a game that doesn't live up to seeing the best team in baseball. But I think you're right on many fronts there, Tom, because like Giolito, even though he didn't have his best stuff today, he had the 5 earned runs. Yeah. He also didn't kill your bullpen. Like, he still gave you 6 innings of work. Great. So like, to me, it's not that big of a deal. I did notice in the third, he was pacing around the mound a little bit more, which is something we've keyed into with Giolito when he struggles. It seems like he does a lot of walking around the mound and pacing and stalking and not just getting the ball and pitching. But then also the other front that you were talking about with Jose Abreu, did I hear this right? That Abreu tried to go back into today's game? He wanted to continue playing today?
So that I did not. Tony say is he wanted to play in tonight's
okay,
game.
Okay, he wanted to play tonight. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So
I love it.
So hopefully nothing is really, you know, there's nothing wrong with Jose Abreu going forward, and he'll be in the lineup tomorrow, hopefully, and it's not a big deal. But you're right. It's one game. Here's the thing. Kopech on the mound tonight. If you win tonight, it's no big deal that you lost here today. You don't want to get swept in this doubleheader today.
No doubt, especially, you know, by a Royals team that came to town having lost 11 in a row. And it was a vicious collision. And you hope Abreu is back in the lineup sooner rather than later. But, yeah, I mean, look, this team has been so damn impressive and so fun to watch that when they struggle against a bad Royals team and they scratch out 5 hits and 2 runs and they lose the first game of a doubleheader, you know, it leaves you feeling a little sour. But then you put it all into perspective and you realize, again, like I said, you can't win them all. So, I mean, they'll get back out there. Kopech is a guy, as you mentioned, Chris, can get out there and get you back on track. So
this is kind of going the same way that last year went too, Waddle. If you look at
you know, when Tim Anderson went down last year and then he went down early this year and he came back, this team has gone on a little bit of a run since he has come back. He's scored in seven straight games, which is the longest streak in the majors right now. And today he had the strikeout, he had the walk, he had the hit, he had the run. So he's kind of been the catalyst for this team. And yeah, they lose today. You know, Giolito gave up the first home run right after the collision. So maybe, you know, standing there watching his first baseman be helped off the field, and then he comes out back and throws a bad pitch.
Those were two of the least impressive. I mean, anytime you hit the ball over the fence in a major league ballpark, we should all celebrate it. But those were two of the least impressive home runs I've seen in a really long time.
I don't know if the wind was a factor today, but yeah, you're right. Those, I don't know, they just kind of seemed like just he missed his spot, but that's been the problem with Giolito so far these last few outings. He's just missing his spots. His velocity looks to be the same. He's just missing his spots right now, and that's going to be a problem.
I thought that I thought maybe his velocity was down, but when he got pissed off today, you saw him throw it up there at 95. I believe it hit 96 once or twice as well, so velocity's not there. We'll talk to Chuck Garfine and see if he's got an update on Jose Abreu and just get his thoughts. Listen, I mean, Chuck's probably still riding high after, you know, exercising those Twins demons. So this baseball team is in a good spot right now. What are they, 22-14? I believe only the Giants currently have a better record in all of Major League Baseball. So
yeah, but no one has a run differential anything close to the White Sox. We were talking about it last night, Waddle. Like, the second-best team in run differential, the Astros, are like 20 runs behind the White Sox. That just shows how dominant they've been this early in the season.
I'd also like, I saw Sylvie send this out via a tweet. And I echo it. I'd like to thank the White Sox for this ride with DraftKings that we've been on the money line. Like, not only have they been playing great baseball, they have provided us with some money-making opportunities. Today was not one of those.
No, today wasn't, but totally, you know, you got to keep betting it. You got to keep getting on the horse.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Bet in the second game. It.
You said horse, right?
Yeah. It's a Friday, Waddle. Come on, get on that horse.
Listen, so much so that I'm going to, I have a request for Friday music before we get out of here.
Oh, really? You want a song of the day? You want a song of the night?
I do want a song of the day.
Okay. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a very depressing What to Watch For, and I've got an impressive song of the day request.
All right.
We'll see. Tell me, we've got Justin Fields' sound, correct? Do we want to play that now, or we want to do that when we come back?
No, we'll do that in a little bit. The Bears, you know, today they kicked off the rookie portion of the mini camp, so just their rookies are there. And a few other guys working out, but Justin Fields was there. There's a lot of pictures of him, a lot of people tweeting the QB1 because he's wearing number one. He's got the very tight practice jersey. When you wore the practice jersey, Waddle, did you show midriff? Did you show a little?
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Did you show a little bit of the abs?
Yeah, you have to understand, like, when I was in high school, our jerseys, we had summer jerseys, we had winter jerseys. Because we were a football powerhouse. I don't know if I ever told you this, but we were the number one team in the country for all 13 regular season weeks. Mm-hmm. Griff was 2 years behind me and didn't actually play football at high school. He didn't need to. Why in the world, Chris, would you put yourself at risk for not being able to go out and be arguably the best left-handed hitter in baseball over 25 years?
Because you could do it.
Yeah, but you were risking injury. Now, Barry Larkin, as you guys indulge me with a little trip down memory lane going back to Cincinnati Moeller High School, Barry Larkin was an all-state safety for our football team. So he did both. He actually could have played football at Michigan, too. He obviously chose just to play baseball, but he could have played football at Michigan as well. But I digress. Now I've completely forgotten.
You were telling us about your midriff.
Tight jerseys.
Oh, yeah. So the summer jerseys, fellas, they were cutoffs. Same in college. Like, they were just above the belly button. And they were, like, really gross. I'm not a hairy guy, but, like, the last thing you want to see is that guy that's got, like, a bush growing just above his belt line. It's just, it's not a good look for anybody, much less playing on a football field. But, yeah, we had those cutoff. We had the cutoff jerseys.
See, I like the O-linemen that are out there with the cutoff, showing the gut. Sun's out, guts out.
Yeah.
That's what I appreciate. But no, Justin Fields was out there.
Looked
Tevin
good.
Jenkins was out there. It's practice. Everybody looks good.
Everybody looks good in practice. I was reading all of the tweets that were out there that just make me smile. It's like, oh, my God, ball never hit the ground. Everything's accurate. It's all good. It's like it is so awesome to hear the optimism. When, as I said a month ago, people were looking to go to Hallis Hall with boxes and packing tape to go up there and help people put their crap in boxes and send it away. And now, it's a whole lot different.
Well, yeah, and Justin Fields did say he was ready to compete, and we'll hear more from him in a little bit.
All right, so we'll do that. Chuck Garfine's going to join us as well. I still see him on my television set with Gordon Beckham, who's like, I love Gordon's approach. Not only has he become a really good analyst, he's got the two buttons undone. He's got the two button undone look for his dress shirt underneath his suit jacket, which I think is really, I like it. It's really cool. But Chuck's going to join us. We'll also hear from Matt Nagy as well. The fellas are going to allow me to request a song. And we got to do this all quick because we're out of here at 6 o'clock. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right, the Kool-Aid's flowing, and it's for good reason. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm not sitting here protesting flowing Kool-Aid because I love Kool-Aid. I'm about to have a cold one here in a second to begin with. But I just love the good feeling coming out of there. I read a tweet. Someone was quoting Matt Nagy, and I know we have Nagy sound as well that we'll get to, that Chris Tabor, their special teams coach, was in charge. And Matt was kind of, you know, laughing that he was hoping that they didn't go 85% special teams and margarita Fridays.
Yeah, yeah.
I know Chris. Chris's daughter and my daughter play on the same high school soccer team. He's such a great guy. This is his second time with the Bears. He was their assistant special teams coordinator under Dave Tobe years ago, and now he's in charge and has been for several years. Chris is fantastic. You are fantastic as well, Chris Black. But with all of that said, Justin Fields did meet the media today, and I think, Chris, you would do a better job promoting this than me.
Yeah, so let's take a listen to Justin Fields. The question that starts this off, he was asked about the difference between the offense he ran at Ohio State, a big-time school in college football, compared to a pro-style offense that he will now run with the Chicago Bears.
I just think it's, you know, the terminology that, you know, NFL teams use, that we use. Just getting used to that, just getting used to the play calls and, of course, the players and stuff like that. But I think that's just going to come along with time, and I'll get used to it as, you know, time flies by.
Colin Kane.
Hey, Justin, as you get on the field with your coaches for the first time, what are kind of your short-term goals for the weekend?
Mm-hmm. My short-term goals are just to, you know, be crisp with the, you know, the huddle call, making sure I'm, you know, precise in my reads and stuff like that, and, you know, really take command of the huddle and, you know, show the guys out there that I'm, you know, leading the offense. So that's pretty much, you know, the kind of list of, you know, short-term goals that I have down for this weekend.
Justin, you mentioned the time with the terminology in the playbook. How much, I'm sure the terminology is different, but the playbook, how much more complicated, how much bigger or maybe even smaller or less complicated is it than what you did at Ohio State?
I would say it's probably the same. I think the only different thing about our offense is that, you know, at Ohio State, we did signals from the sideline. So actually getting in a huddle and calling the play out is the only different thing. But, everything else is pretty much the same when it comes to concepts and stuff like that.
Mike Berman.
Hey, Justin, as a competitor, you're always out to perform your best. And anytime you've stepped into a program, you've been thinking about winning the starting quarterback job. Do you take that same mentality as you start rookie mini camp and all these off-season workouts that you're going to do everything you can to win the starting quarterback job?
Of course. I mean, I think everybody on our team should be striving for a starting job. And if you're not, then there's no reason for you to be here. So, of course, I'm going to do everything that I can to, you know, get that starting job and, you know, it's really, you know, it's not up to me. You know, Coach Nagy, he has a set plan on, you know, my development and stuff like that. But I'm just going to, you know, work hard and keep my head down and just keep grinding it out every day.
Brad Biggs.
Hi, Justin. I'm curious what processes you've used to assimilate the information they've thrown at you in terms of the playbook. And have you gotten any advice from anyone about how to handle this process best and how to go about it?
Yeah, I just think it's, you know, constantly, you know, looking over it, making flashcards and stuff like that. I've done that. And, you know, just looking at it, you know, after we meet, going over it 30, 45 minutes by myself and kind of just reading over my notes and stuff like that. So, as I said before, it's just like, as time goes along, you know, I'll get more used to the playbook and I'll, you know, eventually know like the back of my hand. So it's just going to come with time.
Justin, Coach Flip talked about sort of getting you to show command right out of the gates in these early stages. I'm curious, through your eyes, how do you define command as a quarterback?
Yeah, it's just, you know, calling the play call with confidence, you know, having a loud voice and just really taking control over the whole offense and, you know, really showing, you know, your teammates and, you know, the people who are out there on the field with you that, you know, you're the guy out there, that you have full confidence in not only yourself but your teammates. And, you know, even if you do make a mistake, you make it at full speed. So I think that's, you know, a couple of ways to show that, you know, you're the guy out there and you're doing all you can to get better.
Justin, I believe I read that you were second behind Trevor Lawrence in terms of jersey sales right after the draft. And Bear fans are obviously very, very excited about your arrival. What are your thoughts on that? And have you had any personal encounters with Bears fans that have recognized you? What was that like?
I mean, it's awesome. You know, from the get-go, I could just tell the love from the Bears fans and, you know, how, you know, passionate, you know, our fans are. So it's awesome, you know, having that support from them. And then I've had a few encounters, but, you know, it's just nothing but positive. And, you know, just been saying what's up to everybody. So just all positive, you know, encounters and, you know, just in embracing the love. So, yeah.
Adam Hope.
Hey, Justin, even going all the way back to high school, I mean, you've always kind of been in the spotlight from a highly publicized recruitment, Georgia, Ohio State, now at the highest level. How ready do you feel for all this attention that's coming?
Yeah, I mean, just like you said, I've been, you know, kind of in the spotlight since high school. So I kind of feel like I'm, you know, made for this. I'm built for this. So it's nothing new to me. I'm just going to continue to work hard and continue to get better every day.
I have to tell you guys, I mean, I'm not going to overplay an initial press conference by a young man in his first day wearing a Bears uniform. It just feels different. And I told you guys this a while ago, and I told you guys while I was listening to this. Look, this has nothing to do with you know, kicking the former quarterback while he's gone. It's just different. Everything about it is different. You know, winning a press conference doesn't necessarily equate to being an above average or a difference-making player, regardless of the position. But it just sounds different. It feels different. I said to you guys, I said to you, Chris, just a second ago, the cadence, the delivery, the measured approach, and the confidence, kind of the calm confidence. I feel like I'm listening without looking at the television screen. I feel like I was listening at a young Russell Wilson. I thought Adam Hogue's question was a great one about the spotlight. Another reason this is different is because, as I've said 1,000 times, this young man has played on the biggest stage under the brightest lights. And, oh, by the way, going back to high school, he wasn't somebody that people didn't know about. If you go back and look at some of the video, he and Trevor Lawrence went to the Elite 11 camp that Trent Dilfer runs, and they were the number one and number two players in those camps. It's funny to kind of follow their progression as it's gone along. In high school, they were like the top two guys. In college, they were the top two guys. And coming into the NFL, while Trevor Lawrence was drafted first overall and Justin Fields lasted to the 11th pick here in Chicago, you get a sense that competition, and it's a healthy competition, will continue. It's just a couple of the other things you heard from him is the difference. There is a difference. When people ask, well, will he be ready to play right away? I think the biggest adjustment that he'll see is that they are going to huddle up. that maybe there is a different you know, jargon that is used.
But Waddle, did you notice his answers, Waddle, that with the cadence, with the huddle, he was saying the formations and the actual offense, no different.
Yeah.
And he didn't even bat an eye in saying that, you know. It's just the cadence, the in the huddle, and then, you know, the difference of it came from the sidelines at Ohio State, but now I'm going to have to call it in the huddle. But outside of that, there is no difference between the offense he ran at Ohio State and the offense he's going to run with the Chicago Bears.
Which is good, but I just want to again, you know, suggest that as small of a detail as this may feel, being comfortable working out of a huddle and being under center and not just relying on, you know, the ball being snapped when you clap your hands. It's just a different feel that he'll have to get adjusted to, which, you know, I think he won't have any trouble with at all. But the presentation felt good. It sounded good. He's a young man that's in total control, and I fully understand why everybody's optimistic. Is there anything else that you heard from him that caught your guys' ear?
No, I think that's it. Do you want to hear from Matt Nagy quickly?
Yeah, if you have some of Matt Nagy's sound. And then after the break, we'll talk to Chuck Garfine and get his thoughts on the White Sox loss to the Royals, and then preview the second game of the doubleheader when we get back.
So quickly, so folks who don't know, Nagy is out of the actual practice because he was a close contact with someone who had COVID-19. So he's in the protocols. He expects, hopefully, to be back by Sunday. So today at practice, Waddle, they were holding up an iPad at practice, and he was on the iPad on FaceTime watching practice from the iPad. So here's Matt Nagy meeting the media, talking about Justin Fields.
Adam Hogue?
Just in terms of, I guess, what you saw, we're able to see from Justin specifically today, just in terms of how comfortable he looked, whether it was under center or throwing the ball, whatever you were able to see.
Sure. Number one, I think that he had really good command of just kind of going from play call in the headset, walking into the huddle, calling the play, everyone breaking at the same time, and then having that first wide vision. There weren't many false starts at all, which is pretty good. I think we had one from the very beginning, which was could have been on the defense with the shift. I'm not sure. I have to see the tape. But his mechanics were really good. I thought he seemed super calm. Everything just – a lot of times in these camps, things seem 1,000 miles per hour, and it didn't seem that way from where I was. I thought the ball did not touch the ground very much in the reps that he had passing the football. So that part was good, and that's a credit to the other guys too. For being able to get up there and know their responsibilities so that those guys can play fast.
Mike Berman.
Matt, this goes more towards Justin's makeup and what you've seen from him. He was saying, someone asked him, you know, do you feel the pressure as you get set for this kind of first weekend of pro football? And he said, you know, I'm built for this. This is nothing new to me. It seems like he's just got a very strong confidence about himself. How have you seen that just in the first handful of days that you've been working together? How do you think that's a big benefit for him as he starts his pro career?
Yeah, Mike, it probably goes a little bit back to what Colleen was talking about with what you see about him. There's, you know, a lot of that is just DNA, and it's what you believe in. It's what you've known. It's what you've done your whole life. And so when he says that doesn't surprise me. But there's a lot of hard work that goes into that. And when you have it in a natural way, it definitely helps you. And he's shown to have that in big time moments in his career. So he understands what's ahead of him. He knows that he's going to come in here and get to learn from Andy and from Nick and see what it's like to just really observe how to, you know, watch tape and what it's like to be in practice. And when you're not always getting that first rep, what's that like? That's a unique situation for him too. But when you have the confidence that he has, you never want to take that away from anybody, and you want to use that. So I love the fact that he has that.
Blue skies and sunshine right now, and that's the way it should be. But everyone's optimistic, and I hope a conversation for sometime next week. I don't even know when this team is going to be all on the field together for any type of full team mini camp.
Sunday, September 12th against the Rams.
Yeah, that's what I was
going to
say.
That's not what he's talking about.
That's when they'll all be. Well, I mean,
that,
maybe.
That is an issue that you and me and Chris and Sylvie need to discuss next week, because you can't be ready for this game by just showing up in September. But that's a conversation for another time. Loved what we heard from the coach. Loved what we heard from Justin Fields. But we'll segue back to the White Sox. Chuck Garfine will join us when we come back.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
I didn't see Chuck with his broom today on NBC Sports Chicago. I did not see that. I saw it last night. I saw the joy in his eyes as I believe there were some Twins demons that were exercised as the White Sox swept the Twins. Today, not so much. One of those games that came out a little flat. They lose 6-2 to the Royals. I think the biggest story is the injury to Jose Abreu, but Chuck will... We'll fill us in on all of that. He joins us right now. Chuck Garfine, our guest. Chuck, how are we doing today, buddy?
I'm doing good. Not as good as last night when the Sox swept the Twins, and I brought a broom on the postgame set, and I thought of your partner, Mark Silverman.
You look so happy.
He had so much fun with me. Was he? I think he's been a little overcritical of me. What do you think?
I think so. He has a tendency every now and again to go over the line, just a touch. But, you know, he hides behind the old "I'm a passionate sports fan" excuse. But, look, I thought in some ways he provided you, you know, some inspiration to kind of get rid of that fear and let the confidence flow. And wouldn't you know, the Sox basically took care of your least favorite team.
Yeah, I would say more of what was going on there was I wanted the White Sox to sweep the Twins probably more than anybody. But I didn't want to, you know, say it's going to happen. They have to do it. I can say it all I want, but it comes down to them, and they did the job. I was, you know, proud of how they played. That was a big moment for them, just for this team, because, I mean, I'm not sure they're feeling the Twins monkey on their backs like, oh, fans are, because
right,
that's been
right,
like part of in the DNA for White Sox fans for like generations. But to them, this was the team that won the division last year, and they've been looking up at in the standings, and they know they got to take them down, and they did. Now, with the injury to Jose Abreu today, I mean, it's, you know, good news in that he's day-to-day, doesn't look like any kind of concussion, because that could have been, that would have meant he'd be out for 7 days in the protocol that they have there. So he even, to no one's surprise, I should say, because of who he is, he tells Tony La Russa after the game, "I want to play in game two." I mean, that was a football collision right there in game one. I can't believe he wants to play in game two, but he's not in the lineup for game two.
Your thoughts on the game overall? I described it as just one of those games. You can't win them all. You know, you don't put too much stock into what happened this afternoon.
What I would say is the Sox had a 1-0 lead on a Jose Abreu sac fly. Then the next inning, there's the pop fly, and Abreu has this awful collision with Hunter Dozier right in front of Lucas Giolito. This is the leader of your team who always seems to get banged up and just gets right back up and stays in the game. He never leaves the game. For him to, you know, kind of collapse like that and have to be helped off the field has a ripple effect on your team and especially on Lucas Giolito. And Giolito was throwing his warm-up tosses, and this is something that Gordon Beckham pointed out that I had not seen. His first warm-up toss went to the backstop. He then he faces Michael Taylor, and Taylor probably saw that and goes, "All right, I'm hunting fastball here." So the first pitch that Giolito threw right after the collision was a fastball, and it was a wind-aided fly ball that went over the fence, and just like that, it was 2-1. Mm-hmm. I do feel like that injury had a ripple effect on the whole team. They were flat the rest of the way, and they had two home runs, a two-run homer, a three-run homer, and that was it. I expect them to come back and win game two and show a better performance. No, because then they're going to know, okay, Abreu's not out for like a week. He could be back as soon as tomorrow. That's going to help this team a lot mentally.
Tony, after the game, was very defensive in defending his pitcher. What did you think overall of I mean, I know you talked about what you saw from Lucas. His 2021 so far hasn't looked like his 2020 for the most part. And that's what happens when you have raised expectations and how great he was last year. Overall, Chuck, how do you feel about how Lucas is throwing the baseball?
Yeah, he's not. I mean, he started out the season looking like he did at all of, you know, last year and the year before. I mean, he had, you know, 8 strikeouts, 10 strikeouts, 8 strikeouts, those first 3 starts. Then he runs into that problem in Boston where he only lasts an inning. In Detroit, against Detroit at home, he stayed in the game a little bit longer. And ever since that game, his velocity has been down a tick or two. And that is maybe weighing into his performances since then. But, you know, you're not going to be lights out all the way. And I think, when I say all the way, the whole season, I think he's just not as dominating as he can be. But at the same time, he pitched pretty good today. I mean, I think he had 7 strikeouts. Those were 2 fly balls that the expected batting average were under 200.
Right.
So it wasn't like the other team was, like the Royals were torching him. Could he be sharper? Yes. But almost every pitcher is going to go through the ups and downs of, and I don't even call it so much of a down. He's just not, you know, we had these expectations with Giolito to be this dominant ace every single time he's taken them out. And for whatever reason, last few starts, that hasn't been there. But he has been in position, he's put the team in position to win. And, I mean, the start before, it was actually against the Royals. He goes 5 innings, but gives up 1 run over for those 5 innings, 4 hits. You know, I'll take that from Lucas Giolito. You want more, but you're not always going to get that.
Chuck Garfine joins us, Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Chuck, Kopech, as you mentioned, gets the ball tonight. We ask you this all the time as the season progresses. Where does his performance stack up in terms of the important developments with regard to this team?
You know, every time he takes the mound, I'm expecting something special. And he pretty much always delivers, whether he's in the bullpen or starting. His last start was against the Rangers. 5 innings, 10 strikeouts. And that's the kind of electricity he has, that kind of the electric arm that he has. And, you know, it's they're slow playing him this year because they want to save his innings. So he's going to be a spot starter here and there and then be coming out of the bullpen throwing 2 innings, maybe even 3. And, you know, I just watching him grow, and I'm just really impressed with his control. This is somebody who didn't pitch for 3 years, and with an arm like he has, I think what he was doing during this time off was he was really trying to become not a thrower anymore, but to be a pitcher, and he's able to control this velocity that he has, because, you know, there's a lot of guys throwing hard, but they just have no control over their stuff. He's got the control. He's worked on his mechanics. He's cleaned things up, and, you know, he is, I don't want to say he's under the radar, but I'm not sure how much the majors really know what he's doing so far. It's been really, really special, and it's such a great story, and I hope it continues.
Chuck, before we let you go, any idea what the lineup looks like? Obviously, no Abreu in tonight's game.
Okay, here we go.
Here we go.
Ready for the lineup? This is going to – this is something. Okay, Nick Madrigal is leading off second base. Batting second, Leury Garcia – left field. You got Mercedes DH, and he's cleanup. Moncada's in there. Zach Collins is going to catch, so no Grandal. You got Billy Hamilton in center, Danny Mendick in short. So when you get down to the 8 hitter, you got Hamilton, Mendick, come back around, Madrigal, Garcia. We're going to see some old school baseball in game 2, slashing baseballs around the park.
Let's make some money. Like, I've been riding this White Sox train all the way through DraftKings. I'm going to get back on that train again tonight. So,
you're going to do that? Well, listen, with Kopech, that's going to help. And I think they're going to – Tony even said we're going to, like, dedicate game 2 to Jose Abreu. Like, that's going to light a fire for this team because he is the heart and soul of the team. So he's not in the lineup. They're a better team with him in there. But, oh, and by the way, Andrew Vaughn's going to play first base. He's a real good first baseman. So I like it. But make that pick.
My chips are in. And I push my chips to the middle of the table. Thank you, Chuck. We appreciate your time.
Awesome. Glenn Beckham and myself got a pregame show at 6:30 on NBC Sports Chicago. Busy day for me.
By the way, I love the fact that he wears his dress shirt, two buttons open. He looks like he's about to go out to the club afterwards, but he looks sharp as the day is long.
Yeah, he says he doesn't wear ties. This is his look, and he's you know, he's rocking it. He can rock it. I can't rock that. I mean, could you see me trying that on the air? Never.
I would. I want to see you try that on the air. I do.
Yeah,
want to
I might
see
try that.
That
just to, like, as a joke, like, hey, I'm going to be you.
Or you guys both go with the turtlenecks underneath the sport coats.
Oh, wow. I'll get a pipe, get some slippers.
That's up to you. However you want to accessorize, that's up to you, Chuck. But just
keep us guessing.
Thanks, Chuck. We appreciate
your
time, buddy. Chuck Arfine. All right, when we come back, I get to request a song, right, fellas? And tell you what to watch for. Something last night.
Yes.
And probably something else that I'm not aware of. But we'll get to that when we return.
This hour is brought to you by the Home Loan Expert at the Home Loan Expert Office for First. At the Home Loan Expert Office for First-Time Homebuyers, when you close, you'll receive a $500 Home Depot gift card at thehomeloanexpert.com.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000. Waddle and Sylvie get you set for your weekend viewing with What to Watch For.
You guys have the sponsorship, right? Is this sponsored? Because I got nothing over here other than a cold beer in my hand.
Hell, I can't find it. What to Watch For is brought to you by Swift & Sons American Steakhouse in the West Loop's Fulton Market District. Check out Chef Chris Pandel, Rob Katz, and Kevin Bame as they bring you Chicago's Steakhouse with a modern twist. They're available for takeout and delivery. They're open for reservations. They're taking everything safely and seriously so you can get the safest and tastiest experience. And also, if you're in the Wrigleyville area, check out Swift & Sons Tavern right across the street from Wrigley Field.
They got oysters. They got shrimps there.
It's like a whole big, like, oyster thing. Like, you know, great. Like you can see them and everything like that.
Yes.
And then they shuck them right there. I said shuck.
You said shuck.
I said shuck.
Yeah.
And they got seafood towers and all that kind of stuff. And they got burgers. They got all the bar food you want, all the tavern food you want, all that good stuff.
It's about to get nutty, isn't it?
People puking in the streets and everything. But not around Swift & Sons Tavern. Standards are high there.
My What to Watch For is I feel bad because it's going to run directly, kind of in some strange indirect way. It's going to run contrary to my request for a song of the day. I'd like to participate in the young guys' things on Fridays. My What to Watch For, my wife and I started watching this last night. I did fall asleep because I was a little tired. It's called The Crime of the Century. It's a two-part documentary on HBO. It's about Big Pharma and the political operatives and the government regulations that kind of allowed the opioid crisis to kind of blossom and become a horrible thing in our country. It's very informative. It's a bit depressing, but it's very informative, and it's something that I would advise that you watch.
That sounds good. I don't know if I'm actually going to. I mean, it just sounds. That sounds fun.
It's not fun.
It sounds horribly depressing, man. What are you doing?
Listen, the documentary on the Sons of Sam also wasn't a bright and airy presentation.
Okay.
But that sounds good.
But it did give you some clarity on something that happened in our.
All right. I mean, I don't know the train. Couldn't think of another transition for that.
All right.
I told you that it was an odd connection.
I'm going to give you something I'm not going to watch for, but I'm interested to see what you guys think of it. The Preakness is this weekend?
Yes, it's tomorrow.
The Preakness is this weekend.
You're watching that?
No, I'm not watching it.
Oh, okay.
But the horse is racing, and so I'll look at it on Twitter and find out what happens.
So what are you saying? What not to watch?
No. I just want to know what happens. Like, I want to know if the juiced up horse
wins. So you're
going
to watch the news?
I'm going to watch the news about the Preakness. Right. Like, I'm not going to watch the race.
Did the horse pass its drug test?
Yeah, it's racing. Pass the test and everything.
Okay.
All right.
I'll be watching.
Waddle, you know what I'm going to watch for? The Cavs and the Wizards tonight. Bradley Beal is out. The Bulls still have an outside shot at getting into the play-in tournament. The Bulls over the weekend, they play the Nets tomorrow. The Beard, Kyrie, Katie, they're all back again together for the Nets. And then the Bulls play the Bucks on Sunday.
Can I
but
change?
The Cavs,
you need to get out.
Here's the key, Waddle.
I need to change mine now.
Here's the key. The Cavs have to beat the Wizards tonight, so I'm going to be paying attention to that.
Okay, I need to change mine now because I left it open for Chris to take this because I thought he would. But since he didn't, I'll be watching the NBA Hall of Fame inductions as Michael Jordan inducts Kobe Bryant.
Good one.
Sad. Tomorrow on ESPN, tomorrow afternoon on ESPN.
Hey, Waddle. Yeah. It's the end of your week. Do you want to? You want to get to the song
of the
night?
How do I do
this?
How do I officially
say
it, request?
Repeat after me.
It's repeat
time
after me.
For song of the night.
Time for song of the night.
I wanna rock.
Hey, turn up the volume and don't touch that dial because it's time for
what dial? There's no dial on my phone.
Yeah, it's just an. Never mind.
Crank the volume because it's time for Bleck and Abdullah's song of the night.
Yo, Lick.
All right, Waddle, what's the name of the song?
The name of the song is Cold Beer Calling My Name, coming to you from Jameson Rogers and Luke Combs.
Do you have a cold beer right now?
Oh, yeah.
Did you crack it open already?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's half
gone. Take a sip. There it is. You can hear it.
Been one of them, clock it in, knock it out, clock it out, about to kick it off the weekend. There's a stretch of black top, I ain't never seen a cop, so I'm pushing it a little past 10. Pull a little money from the bank, put it in the tank, shine up the windshield glass. Don't know where the night might lead.
He sings it better than
me. Ain't nowhere to be, but I gotta get you.
Sorry, good try, but
calling my name. Feel a good time coming, got a new song humming, and the sun sets.
Just wait, Luke Combs kicks in right here, and then it gets really, really cool.
Seven is a pocket full of payday green, and my baby put sugar on me.
Hey, girl.
It's been a pretty damn good day, and there's a cold beer calling my name. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Luke Combs.
Come on.
If there's a hillbilly rock show, I'll be in the front row holding up a red big flame. Or wrap around porch with a citronella torch. Yeah, you know I'm down either way.
This is how we do it on the weekends.
All right, well, do you have any song facts about this, or is this just about cold beer?
No, this
beer
is just I got a
open.
Cold beer calling my name.
Yeah, this is an Abdallah like one where you're just here for the vibes.
Cold beer calling my name.
Come on, you can't tell me that doesn't inspire you to go out and have a few.
No, I'm with you. I love this song. I'm a big Luke Combs fan.
There's still a bunch of hams in the fridge. Maybe I'll get one.
You did get one.
There's a pocket full of payday green, and my baby put sugar on me. Yeah, it's sure been a pretty damn good day.
All right, what do you guys got on your show tonight? That was very kind of you to allow me to request the song of the day. Song of the night.
Well, we have a lot coming up, Waddle. We're going to talk some Bears, but I'm enjoying this song. We still have a minute left in this song.
All right, just sit back and enjoy.
I love it. No, wait, we're going to take calls. You know how it is, Friday nights. Things get weird. Friday night calls. 312-332-3776. Light them up now. We'll take your calls.
I want people to call in and tell you guys how they felt at home.
Calling my name. Cold beer calling my name. There's a cold beer calling my name.
Now we're going to talk Justin Fields, the Bears. Yep. Rookie minicamp started today.
You guys are on for what, a half hour, and then pregame for the White Sox?
6:45.
Bonus 15 minutes. We're on until 6:45.
You guys get it tonight.
All
right, take us home, Waddle.
All right, that's it.
Good day.
And there's a cold beer calling my name, which means I gotta go.
Take us home. All right, that's it.
Yeah. We'd like to thank Chuck Garfine for joining the show today. I'd like to thank Adam Abdallah and Chris Bleck also for sitting in the sidecar with me with Sylvia out. Sox lost the first game of the doubleheader, but they got a chance to make amends with the LA nightcap. And that's going to do it for the Waddle and Sylvie Show here on ESPN 1000. I hope you all have a fantastic weekend. Hey, hug one another and stay out of trouble. This is ESPN 1000.
See you, Waddle.
Bye, guys.
It's the classic!
I am
really excited.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No hi from you.
What?
No hi from you.
I'd give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all, and to all a good night.